And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, November 16th. We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out to Bailey and producer Dom. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM kids, if you don't know what that means, ask your parents. Apps like iHeart and TuneIn, other apps. Everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice, and for that I give thanks. I also give thanks to those listening on the American Forces Network around the world. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm filling in for Andrew Zarian, short notice this week. He's ailing a bit. So I'm happy to fill in, could be with you for the next hour talking about the very best in pro wrestling, the big news and such over the past, 24, 36 hours. And there's been a lot of it. Got a lot to talk about today. We have a rant that has been in my head since Thursday night about TNA wrestling. It is time to call out TNA wrestling on its BS. Something I've had in my mind off and on for years, and Thursday night was just finally the breaking point. We'll talk about that. The passing of Bob Caudle, legendary announcer. That just happening on Sunday morning. AW Collision happened, of course, Saturday. One that came together lineup-wise. It seems 24, 36 hours before, give or take, as always. We'll do an early preview of next Saturday's Full Gear. Of course, a lot of developments for that to come this week. And I have a grab bag of stuff for CM Punk, Marina Shafir, TKO, Joe Hendry, AJ Styles, and even some Jacob Cohen. Do you know who Jacob Cohen is? You're going to on this episode. A lot to come on the show. I cannot wait to get started. And we'll even have a little bit of John Cena news as well. So stick around, Wrestling Observer Live, for the next hour with me, Josh Nason. Coming right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is a sunny Sunday, November 16th here in the Northeast. Cold, chilly. Winter's coming. I got reminded today, I hate raking leaves. Absolutely hate raking leaves, and I was reminded about that for about an hour today. Holla if you hear me, Josh Nason on Twitter or Blue Sky. Holla if you hear me on this. I am sick of TNA and how they plan out and execute their men's world title changes. I didn't even know I was going to do the show this week. I was asked short notice, which is fine. And I've been sitting on this thought since Thursday night. And I didn't know where I was going to air it. I was perhaps going to save it for my year-in review series, put it that way, for WrestlingObserver.com on Josh Nason's Punch-Out. However, I get to do it now. In case you've been sleeping under a rock, not into TNA wrestling, they've been off for the last month for some strange reason after Bound for Glory, which is their big pay-per-view of the year, supposedly, allegedly. I don't really know what the difference is, but I'll get to that in a minute. They took a month off, went dark. Why? No one seems to know. Was it or if they do, they're certainly not making it public. Were they planning to have switched TV networks? Were they planning something else? It seems like there was something that was supposed to happen that didn't happen. I wonder if they thought a TV deal was supposed to start in the first part of December, perhaps. It's a very short turnaround, but who knows? So they have this big show. Mike Santana won the TNA world title that night. And it was a long storyline that kind of led to that. We'll get to that in a minute. He won, hugged his daughter. So finally, Thursday, Impact returns, TNA Impact returns. And Mike Santana opens the show, a live edition. And people loved it. You deserve it, all this stuff. And it kind of an open challenge to the locker room. Ryan Nemeth came out, mocked him. And, of course, his brother Nick has a shot at the championship, and so does Frankie Kazarian. They have this Collier Shot gauntlet that they split at Bound for Glory. And long story short, Mike Santana and Ryan Nemeth set for the end of the show. So what happens? Of course, comes the end of the show, and there was a little bit of a brawl to begin with. And then Nick Nemeth was set to come out and perhaps cash in his Collier Shot gauntlet championship opportunity. And he got jumped by someone in the back. We don't know who it is, part of the mystery. And then a bunch of NXT wrestlers came into the ring, attacked Santana, laid him out. And part of this whole thing, a couple of TNA guys, Steve Macklin, the hometown man, tried to make the save. And then Charlie Dempsey was part of this crew, random crew of guys, got an arm breaker, Santana. They pilmanized his arm with a chair. And then they left, and Frankie Kazarian then ran out to cash in his trophy. Kazarian hit the fade to black. Santana kicked out. Kazarian went for the chicken wing. And in the end of the day, it was like 50 seconds, 51 seconds. And Frankie Kazarian is your new TNA World Champion. A month after you just concluded a storyline in which he finally won the title. So what's the reason for this? So a lot of people thought that night. And I'm not the only one thinking, wow, this is really dumb. Doesn't make sense. People, of course, the LOL TNA, a classic refrain on social media has been for, I'd say, the better part of a decade. People didn't like it. And people were speculating, well, maybe WWE wants Santana, so they're going to cut this thing early. Friday, they had a streaming special, Turning Point, also from Orlando, Florida, Full Sail University. I did not see this show. I saw clips after, and the one refrain was not a lot of people in attendance, it seemed, or perhaps that was for Thursday. It seemed very quiet, I guess, and it was just not, sorry, kind of the momentum and all that, it just seemed like it was a momentum killer. I can't speak to that. When I was looking up stuff, that seemed to be a common refrain. So Friday, Santana was set to team with Steve Macklin against Frankie Kazarian and Nick Nemeth. And then a story came out earlier in the day that was leaked to some media people that Mike Santana was upset and hadn't been heard from, was returning text and all that. And PW Insider ran with that. A couple other people on social ran with that. A couple people that claim to break news but really don't. We didn't do anything about it because we actually before we even considered it, was Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp reported that the whole thing is just work. He's not really sure. He'd not seen a case before where the company was actually trying to work the media in this form of fashion. So seemed a little bit unusual. And what happened at the end of the show? Well, Steve Macklin was going handicap style against these one-on-two against the opponents, and Mike Santana came out and away we go. And that was it. And then we did a TV taping. He's upset, you see. And they had a TV taping on Saturday. I won't spoil anything for you, but like nothing. There doesn't seem to be really any developments based off of what happened in terms of, you know, it wasn't an immediate title rematch or like anything like that. Something could happen, obviously, in the post-production and so on. The bigger point is, why did they do this? He's not getting called. If he was getting called up, so to speak, and called up because everyone thinks of TNA essentially as WWE's secondary minor league, just like NXT now. If he was getting called up or signed, then why didn't they do it? Or not why did they do it, but why did they have to do it this way? Was there something in the last month that just made them say, okay, you got to make this change now? If they did, don't you think you have a better way of doing it, a more, I don't know, spectacular way of doing it that would coronate Frankie Kazarian after all these years of not winning the world title and having the world title? There's probably a better way to do it. So I don't think that's it. He probably is going to go there at some point. But I don't think this was the reason for doing this. You have this guy that has been chasing this title for months. And this kind of goes to a bigger thing because I was thinking about him like, why does TNA always seem to do this, right? Why do they always seem to make a change right when they have something that their fans enjoy? Why do they seem to then say, well, we're just going to make a quick change and kind of reheat the oven? And I say that because Mike Santana has had several shots at the title before. He had a shot at the title back in June against Trick Williams. That was on NXT TV show. He did not win. There was some interference and so on. And it seemed like the logical spot to do the change was going to be a month later, just over a month later, at the TNA Slamversary pay-per-view in Elmont, New York, on Long Island, if I can talk, because he is from New York. not Long Island, but close by. And what happened in that three-way with Joe Hendry and Trick Williams? Trick Williams retained the title. And it wasn't until 3 months later at Bound for Glory last month that Santana finally won it. Now, I'm a New Hampshire guy. I'm a New England guy. I've been to Lowell, Massachusetts many times. I can tell you that the title change would have been probably, in terms of like a hometown thing, it would have been better in New York. Where are the guys from? Why wait? Is Bound for Glory that much bigger than Slammiversary? I had to be told from someone that Bound for Glory is TNA's, like their WrestleMania, their big thing of the year. Like, they're not that big a company where anyone really gives a bleep about that. They have 4 pay-per-views a year, I believe. Make it Slammiversary. Who cares? Then do something good for Bound for Glory. I don't understand what the point was for waiting. And then you finally wait and you beat the guy in less than a minute after being off for a month, after this great moment at the end. What are you trying to do? Is this going to make him like a bigger draw? Why? You just gave the guy the title, one of your top baby faces, when Joe Hendry's now gone. I have more to say on this because I have 2 other examples. We're going to go in the next segment. More on TNA and more on what are the hell are they doing. Back after this, Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Stick around. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Sunday, November 16th. Let's continue this rant on TNA. Then I swear I'll get to some AEW Collision and a Full Gear preview. If you think you've seen this Mike Santana TNA world title story before in waiting, giving the guy the title, and missing the mark, we have seen this before. And we've seen this before with Josh Alexander. And Josh Alexander, remember him? Now in AEW? In 2021, after a long X Division title run, and a cash in title. I'm confusing the stories, perhaps. He'd used option C, so he had cashed in his title and to get a shot at the world title, I do believe. But then leading into the show, he beat Ace Austin in number one contenders match. So I may be confusing 2 storylines here. But he got his shot at the world title. And if you remember kind of the lead up, he was the guy. After this long tag team title run with Ethan Page and so on, he went singles, did that X Division title reign is just overlooked, I think, because of the era and just because TNA and whatever. That was a great X Division title run for a guy that was not a high flyer, but it was one of the better secondary title runs we've seen in quite some time. So he finally gets to Bound for Glory. Again, Bound for Glory, supposedly their biggest event of the year. I'm sorry if you're a TNA historian or something like that. To me, there's no difference between Slammiversary and Bound for Glory. They're just two shows. Like, your pay-per-views are all at the same level. They're just not. TNA doesn't have that obvious thing like WWE does, where they're you know what the big story is of the year, the big event of the year. AEW, they're finally 6 years in. I think it finally established All In as their WrestleMania. Look how long it took them. I just don't see any difference between these two. Anyway, Josh Alexander take on Christian Cage, if you remember that whole story. And Josh Alexander defeating Christian Cage, who was then under AEW contract as well, defeating him in just under 19 minutes in Las Vegas. Good moment, members, family came in the ring, all that. And then within 7 seconds after, Moose came out. He cashed in his Call Your Shot gauntlet, defeated him, and that's where we ended the night. Moose was your TNA Impact World Champion, then just Impact World Champion. This was October 2021, and people were like, what? Why? We just invested all this time in a babyface ascent up the ladder. He finally got there, a great moment, and you're like, well, we're going to have a swerve here. And a swerve in less than 10 seconds. I remember watching, I'm like, I don't understand what is happening right now. It took him 6 months to get a title shot, this being at Rebellion in March 2022. to finally get his revenge on Moose. See a comparison between this and Mike Santana a little bit? I guess we'll see how long it takes Mike Santana to get his title shot again. That was an example of just they missed the moment. If you remember the build, they missed the moment. We went on to have a great title run, but he missed the moment. They missed the moment. Joe Hendry, familiar with him? This happened just last year. Again, they missed the moment. All this buzz, he had finally really got over. This is with the whole turning the head and say his name, he appears, and fans are really in him. He built himself up from relatively nothing. Going into Slammiversary in July 2024, it was a six-way elimination match, and Moose was the champion going into that. Moose tied in this stuff all together. Josh Alexander also in that match. Frankie Kazarian, Nick Nemeth, Joe Hendry, Steve Macklin. Everyone thought, okay, this seems to be the right time to turn. The company, again, this was before the WWE deal was announced. I don't know if it actually started at this point, kind of the early thing, but it just felt this was the right time. And what happened? He didn't win. He did not win. Then it was like, okay, maybe I can buy this, and he's got a little bit of a more of a run. It took him until, again, Bound for Glory, October 2024, he got his shot, and then he lost to Nick Nemeth. That's how I believe Bound for Glory, and he lost to Nick Nemeth. And everyone going in, I thought, okay, he's going to win, and he didn't. It then took until January 2025, earlier this year, a solid, 8 months, 6 months, 7 months after the buzz, and really it was the apex, and he finally defeated Nick Nemeth for the title at Genesis. They missed the mark. If you remember it, they missed the mark. I don't know, man. Why do I get upset about this stuff? Because if we don't care about this stuff, why should anyone care about anything in wrestling? If you don't have passion for it, if you don't think about it, want to talk about it, if you're just like, whatever, that's not good. I'm a TNA hardcore fan, and this is the thing, man. Like, TNA has been around for so long, and has been around for so long and been almost dead. Hard to kill, right? So many times. And just crapped on by wrestling fans and all this stuff. And you fought through the Russo era and the Bischoff era and Hogan and just all these things. You can read the stories. You can listen to the podcast from Garrett Kidney, and you can read the stories everywhere. We all know, if you're into wrestling at all, I've been in wrestling for a period of all for the last 20 years, you get it. And for some reason, I feel so bad for them, because like, these title changes and these baby faces getting after long runs are validation for them, why they watch. And they get peed on, right? I don't think I can say another word on the radio that I want to. I would be furious. I'm mad. I'm not even a hardcore TNA fan. I just don't understand the justification why they, three times now in the past, 4 years, they've missed the mark this bad. You can tell when the title is supposed to change. Now you can say, you do the Triple H thing, like, oh, you got to wait till the story plays out. It's such a cop out for bad booking, making the wrong decision. You can tell, we've watched this stuff long enough, you can tell when the change is right and the time is right. Yeah, you could say the same, you know, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. I still would have changed the title that first year, but what, you know? They said, well, you got to wait till the story plays out and whatever Triple H said and all that. Not every situation is like that. And that situation is very rare. Bookers make decisions and bad choices and bad decisions too. And you can't always say, you know, wait till the story plays out. Because your fans, you just start to shade them off. And the people that may have started coming to the door, the casual wrestling fans who may be checking this stuff out, I was like, not watching this. And you saw the negative reaction to it on social, more so than usual. And I feel bad for Frankie Kazarian and all this too, if we're being completely honest. And we have to be. guy's waited his whole career, and this is kind of the way it goes. And granted, he's a heel, but this just doesn't feel right. I feel bad for him, too. Anyway, that's my TNA World Title rant. If you disagree, agree, let me know. Josh Nason, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Let's get to some Blue Skies, so to speak, in AEW. Try to calm down a little bit here. We had Collision last night. Fine wrestling show. It's the same show as it always is. Solid wrestling. All-star, eight-man tag at the top. Very random. FTR, Roosh, Sammy Guevara, Jet Speed Bandido, and Juice Robinson. I don't know why Brody King and Austin Gunn weren't involved, but they were not. So it's kind of, I guess, just kind of a showcase or doing one of these other money matches for the tailgate brawl. I think they're starting to overdo the money thing a lot about. It's like, I think it's $200,000, a four-way tag or something like that. I mean, after you're doing $1 million thing of the show, and it's just getting a little bit ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, for last night, it was fine. It was, again, AEW has no problem with the in-ring. It's like, does anything else they do stick with you and matter and all that? And really, it was kind of the build to this weekend's Dynamite, this week's Dynamite, which I'll be there in attendance for in Boston, Massachusetts, I do believe. Hangman Page against Katsuyori Shibata. This is a go home for Full Gear. This will be a 3-hour show, no Collision next Saturday. So they're doing a unification match between interim champion Mercedes Moné and current Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion Red Velvet. Her first match back after a long injury. I think we know how that will go. We have the AEW, finally, the quarterfinals, the other side of the bracket. This is a note I had for later, but AEW Women's Tag Team title, we have Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa versus Rio and Alex Winza. And we also have Tay J versus Megan Bain and Maria Shafir. And all those have a little bit more interest, I'd say, after Blood and Guts. We'll talk more about B&G in just a few minutes. And we have Kenny Omega making an appearance and probably more stuff, obviously, to come, probably in the 24 hours leading up to the show. But overall, it's a smaller venue in Boston that they have been running. They have been running the Garden the past few, and now they are running the Aganis Arena at Boston University, where they ran the first few Dynamites when they first started years and years ago. Good small venue. I don't think they have a ton of tickets out for it, which goes to this thing I've been talking about for months, and we'll see. We'll see how they try to pack them in. We also had two matches now for Full Gear, Pac versus Darby Allin, and then we also had that pre-show match I just talked about a minute ago. Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, the Bang Bang Gang, Brian Keith and Big Bill, and the Outrunners competing for a storyline, $200,000. And there you go. But yeah, isn't that, it was a fine show. I do admit there were a couple times I looked at my watch. I'm like, can I go to bed now? We're ready. You know, it's always so much good wrestling to take, but what are you going to do? When we come back, we're going to talk about more good wrestling. We'll talk a little bit about Full Gear and also a grab bag of like a bunch of different stuff. Who I thought was the breakout star of Blood and Guts. What if TKO is wrong? That and a lot more. Josh Nason's Punch Out. Actually, sorry. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Coming right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, November 16th. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarin. Got a lot of stuff to get to. Grab bag segment. So let's reach in, shall we? Let's start off with the passing of Bob Caudle, legendary broadcaster, announcer. Passed away at 95 years old on Sunday, or at least it was, must have been Sunday night, or perhaps Saturday. His son revealed it on Sunday, 95 years old. His wife, Jackie, passed away earlier this year. They had celebrated 76 years of being married. How about that? You don't see that much often, huh? Three children, seven grandchildren, and 12 great-grandchildren. What a life. What a life. Of course, longtime broadcaster, 70s, 80s, and so on. I can't tell you many Bob Caudle stories, or like, I didn't grow up with him, you know, in terms of my wrestling fandom. I heard his matches later on, you know, once, get watching tapes and get access to more stuff. But, you know, as a kid, Mid-Atlantic Pro Wrestling and so on was not even close. NWA wasn't a thing here in the Northeast, or if it was very, very hard to find. Of course, WWF territory in the 80s when I was growing up. But he was just this, he fits in that same mold of the Gordon Solis and Lance Russells and Jim Rosses, I guess you could say, and just the classic announcer when you think of that era in a territory. Gravitas, it's funny. I always think of these guys as being so old the grandfather types, kind of when I kind of first came into to orbit of who they were. And I'm sure a lot of them were just, you know, probably their 30s or 40s, not that old. But it's, but you think of them as just this again, someone with gravitas, and you listen to them, respect to them. And yeah, what a life though, huh? I mean, 95, all those kids, great family, passed in his sleep. So it doesn't sound like, or at least, you know, hopefully he didn't suffer or anything like that. You know, didn't somebody hear about, you know, cancer or these things. So I, yeah, hopefully he had a an easy passage to the other side. And yeah, 95 years old, Bob Caudill. How about that? I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come on the next week or so, memories of him. I'm sure the guys Wrestling Weekly. I bet Les Thatcher has some good Bob Caudill stories. And of course, a worker till the end, right? Doing this while Dave is on vacation, Dave Meltzer, and he'll no Wrestling Observer newsletter coming out this week. Something always seems to happen. But Bob Caudill, what a life and a career, and well respected, seemed to be well loved, and yeah, rest in peace, Bob Caudill, and thoughts with your family. Let's get to some other news and notes from the week in the grab bag. I thought the breakout star of I almost said Bound for Glory. I want to get on that again. Blood and Guts, Marina Shafir. I don't think I'm the only one that thought that. I think this Death Riders thing finally has come full circle in terms of making someone, and I think it made her. She came out for that match on Wednesday, and she just seemed like Wyatt Earp in Tombstone. I'm coming and hell's coming with me. There's just a gravitas, I keep using that word, a presence, a badassery, and she has it. And she bored me to tears for years in her early AEW run and Ring of Honor. She didn't wrestle for a long time. She wrestled in Defy and other places, but they had her, but they weren't using her. When they did, it was just so boring and bland. Jim Ross tried to put her over, but just like, oh my God. And something seems to have changed. And even it took a while for the Death Riders thing to click with her as well, because she didn't wrestle for a long time while she was doing the Death Riders thing either. And it was kind of this thing of, is she just done? Is she just a manager / heavy type thing? But no, she, in the past month, they've really started to kind of ratchet up. I think this tag team with Megan Bain, I mean, based on this past week, I might just put the titles on them. I think they really have something with her, with Shafir. And I mean, I think they've kind of, Tony Khan has kind of stumbled into it. And I think he's got it, like, he can't do what TNA does. Don't wait. And you know, obviously he's long title reigns, but you got to go for it. Go for it now and figure out, is she going to be the one to beat Mercedes or something? Like, it sounded crazy weeks ago. There's something there. And I think you got to strike when the iron's hot, all the cliches, and put the strap, one of them, on Maria Shafir, and do it rapidly. Rapidement, definitely by World's End, please. One of the two titles. Make another star and see what you can do. One thing that came up as a flip script to a different subject, what if TKO is wrong about how they're handling WWE? This came up in a discussion on my year in review series with Jesse Collins. We talked about the month of February. And we just talked about kind of some decision-making from the head hires up Mark Shapiro with ticket prices and some of the stuff he's saying about you know, IP and so on, WrestlePalooza. And the notion kind of came up, like, I hope these guys know what they're doing. They know what they're doing in a business sense, but like, is the wrestling part of it, because they're not wrestling people, is that going to get affected at some point? I thought a lot about that in the past couple of days. I'm trying to still flesh out my thoughts on it, but I if I'm a WWE fan and really for the business, you kind of hope that they're right. Because people that don't understand wrestling and the nuances and how fans like certain things and all that, it's okay to make changes. But from a business side, there's just a lot of corporate speak on the higher levels. And I wonder when it is going to really affect the business in a way that's going to be detrimental. The ticket price thing is certainly a thing. And I think 2026 is going to be an interesting year for them. I have no doubt they'll be profitable. But there's just something there I didn't think about till this past week, and I kind of started to a little bit. So something to kind of file away for 2026. Hopefully, what if they're wrong? What if the leadership is wrong about how they're handling WWE and so forth? And We'll see. We talked about the women's tag team title tournament file. I'm like, what is this delay for? I thought the finals are going to be at Full Gear, but apparently not. So I assume we're going to have one of those semifinal matches, maybe both of them coming up at Full Gear, perhaps doing the championship match at maybe Dynamite the next week, perhaps, or 2 weeks, something like that. So it's kind of wondering what's taking so long, but we're going to have some movement on that. CM Punk did a thanks for the memories photo and a post on Instagram with he and John Cena and Cody Rhodes from After Raw on Monday. That I don't know what to think of Punk, and I haven't since he came back to WWE. And really, this guy is once a symbol of counterculture and the opposition. And now he's Mr. Company Guy, Corporate Phil. He's doing Zootopia 2 and, you know, taking these roles like that. And I get it. I get it. But what was it, simply because he didn't see Tony Khan as a strong leader and he was allowed to get away with this stuff for so long until he wasn't in AEW, that it took him going to WWE in a bigger establishment and grown-ups in charge, so to speak, and people he seemingly respected like Nick Khan and maybe lesser extent Triple H. I assume their relationship is good now, it seems to be. Who knows how much of that is PR or not. That the structure was what he needed in order to fall in the line. That was only a couple years ago that he left AEW or got fired from AEW and came to WWE. And now he's just the happiest company guy around. And there's something about it, it doesn't seem right to me. People do change, but that much? He hated this company for the better part of a decade. What? And it took him being let go. What if they didn't let him go? Was he going to still have this epiphany? I saw that picture and it's like, I don't know. There's something that just doesn't seem right about it. I don't know. Not fake isn't the right word, but do you feel the same way? Like, do you see him and see him as he's always been the same? This is the same guy he always is. It's just evolution. I mean, did he just need that structure in order to be this guy? And would he have ever been this guy in AEW? What if they got rid of the Bucks and they sided with Punk and Tony Khan did and went the other direction? What happens then? Is this still the guy? Does he still blow his way out of town? Did he need to get blown out of town to grow up a little bit and make this flip? Or is he simply just like, this is my last chance. I got to make some money. This is a great opportunity. So I'm going to shut up and be a company guy no matter what. And maybe inside I don't love this. I don't know. Maybe this guy's always been in there. I'm sure I've talked about before. There's just some, I see these pictures. I don't get it. There's something that just, it doesn't seem right. However, I do think he deserved to get in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Cody Rhodes got in there as well. I think he's a no doubt Hall of Famer to me. I don't vote, but I think I could. I just don't. But I think Punk deserved to get in. So did Cody Rhodes. Some of the other people that got in, I can't tell you anything about Spiros Arion to save my life. Alex Arion, maybe. Indie wrestler from the Northeast. Let's get some other things. AEW does not need a national title. Hot take from over a week ago. You excited about more SmackDown? Yes, SmackDown apparently is going back to 3 hours. And apparently it's a half a year deal. We're half the year, they're 3 hours. Half the year, they're 2 hours, which is a really weird thing. What other TV show does that? And the reaction from the wrestling intelligentsia was not positive. It's another, you know, essentially 26 hours. Of course, that's not counting commercials and all that. But yeah, another 26 hours of content. I don't know about that. 24 or 26. Stretches creative a bit thin. They certainly have, both sides have rosters to deal with these expanded shows, but I don't think more wrestling is what we need, but we're going to get it anyway. Joe Hendry is now in WWE. We have not seen him debut in terms of officially a main roster person or a NXT person, but that broke the other day. You didn't even have like a swan song goodbye, I guess, because there's going to be such a partnership with TNA going forward that he's never really going to kind of leave. It's kind of like, you know, Jordynne Grace feels like there's still part of her that's kind of connected to TNA before she gets called up. So Joe Hendry's now there, and they they clearly have wanted him for quite some time, and I think they see him as kind of a social media star. You know, what is his ceiling in WWE? I think probably eventually if he gets to the main roster, he's 37. But old guys rule now, right? They get to the main roster. I think, that mid-level title, I don't see him as a world champion type. Could they get an angle hot enough where they could do that? Possibly. That requires some thought and some planning. But, yeah, I think good for Joe Hendry. He's someone that kind of just made himself, and really with the songs and all the stuff in TNA, give him the credit. They kind of gave him the runway to do it, and now he's in the big dance. So good for him. Speaking of TNA, very TNA heavy show. WWE apparently won't let AJ Styles wrestle in TNA. This quote, I was hoping that this would happen, being a final match in TNA. He really wants to take on Frankie Kazarian. I really was, but I realized it probably never could happen as far as WWE letting me do that. And I'll tell you why. I don't believe this. It's because as soon as I open those gates from the main roster talent, now everybody's going to want to do it. With all due respect, TNA, not everyone on the main roster is going to want to go down there. Is Roman Reigns going to want to go to TNA? Is Cody and so on? I mean, it's possible, but AJ Styles is like, he's so synonymous with TNA. It would make sense for him to do a last match there, but before he retires. But it's funny, if WWE, if this isn't a swerve, he's not going to go down there, maybe compete against Kazarian for the title and win it, right? WWE, if it's true they're not letting him do it, how hilarious is that? What a great corporate partner, right? I mean, come on, just let him go. Finally, Jacob Cohen, Mr. Jacob Cohen, I mentioned him. Speaking of TA, thrown out of the TNA TV taping on Saturday night because they thought he was filming video of the tapings and sharing them, and apparently showed his phone and said he wasn't. He's been kicked out of NXT tapings before. Actually, I'm sorry. Our good friend JJ Williams was, who's also friends with Jacob Cohen. But Jacob is a guy who is a great Florida wrestling fan and got screwed over by TNA. So big surprise there. Quite a day for them. When we come back, we will wrap up the show and give a weekly preview. Josh Neeson, Wrestling Observer Live, come right back after this. Okay, final segment, Wrestling Observer Live. What a show. Lots of TNA talk. Boy. Boy, boy, boy. All kinds of stuff. We have Josh Nason's Punch-Out, as I've almost said twice on the show, coming up this week. I'm doing my year interview series, so I go 12 episodes deep, one episode per month, different guests every month. March coming up with Rich Fan of Pro Wrestling Torch. We're going to talk all about the month of March, and then Rich Krejci, another Rich from Voice of Wrestling, is going to be talking about the month of April. Warren Haynes coming up. I just did shows with Jack Farmer, and then also with Jesse Collings coming up. So check those out for free, WrestlingObserver.com or on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, all for free. Just search Wrestling Observer. You can find those in the feeds there. If you have an issue, just hit me up on social media. Let's look at the week ahead before we get out of here, because John Cena's final match in Madison Square Garden coming up on Monday. And he is, don't know who he's going to compete against. A lot of intrigue there. Tuesday, NXT, of course. Wednesday, 3 hours of Dynamite. Again, I'll be in the house and I'll be getting back very late. Make an early day the next morning to get my daughter ready for school. And she always has an 8 a.m. appointment. Always the day after these long AEW shows in Boston. It's just crazy. TNA Impact, the fallout from all the crap that happened. Of course, Ring of Honor. As they build to Final Battle, which is coming up in like a few weeks, and we have, I don't think, anything announced for that show. SmackDown coming up on this Friday, and then we have AEW Full Gear this Saturday, which I did not do a preview like I said I was going to, but, we'll be getting that stuff all week. Show right now, it kind of is like, all right, it's not really lighting me on fire. I guess that's a good thing, but we'll see what they do to kind of build up some stuff in this week. Wrestling will be good as always, but again, it's... What do you feel coming into it, and what do you feel going out of it? Hopefully you feel great coming out of the show. I greatly appreciate the time you spent with me today on Wrestling Observer Live. You have a lot of choices, and I'm glad this was one of them. Until next time, this has been Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Neeson. Thanks so much. Talk to you again next week.